Thank you, Judy, for that introduction. Hello, I am the one and only William Penn. You may know me as the founder of Pennsylvania, or if not, well, who did you think the state was named after? My father? Please remain at Penlisle Road as you listen to my tale. Born in 1644 in London, I was the son of Margaret Jasper and Admiral Sir William Penn Sr. My father was a prosperous man who played his cards right during the English Civil War of the 1640s and 50s and was rewarded with beautiful estates in Ireland as a result. I did not follow in his footsteps, however. You see, just a few decades earlier, a man by the name of George Fox had become disenchanted with the teachings of the Church of England. He believed that the church hierarchy was redundant. What if instead of listening to corrupt and power-hungry priests, we could communicate directly with the Almighty ourselves? His idea caught on, and he and his followers became known as Quakers, because they were trembling at the word of the Lord. In my youth, I became enchanted with Quaker teachings, much to my father's disappointment. Despite his best efforts to put me back on what he thought was the right track, I was 22 and full of fire when I publicly declared myself a Quaker in 1666. This spelled trouble for me. Over the years, the Quakers were persecuted by the church and the crown for their religious and political beliefs, and I was arrested for attending Quaker meetings. Although my family had me released and recalled to London, my father was not a happy man. His hopes for me had been crushed, and he feared for his own status as well as my well-being. Over the years, I faced several trials in England and was even sent to prison for several months. Still, my father paid my fines despite my protests. The last time he bailed me out was in 1670. He was dying then, and he wanted to see me one last time. I had apparently earned his respect at that late date, and in an act meant to shield me after he departed this earth, he wrote to the Duke of York, the heir to the throne. In return for my father's service, I was made a royal counselor. Still, I maintained my beliefs and continued to fight for Quaker ideals. But persecution of my kin persisted, so in 1681, I proposed a solution. A few years prior, several fellow Quakers and I had purchased the western half of New Jersey. At this time, I was a proprietor of the colony, essentially a major governing landowner. With this foothold in the New World, I swayed the crown to grant me over 45,000 square miles of land west of my current territory to where many Quakers could move. Originally, I called it New Wales and then Sylvania, which is Latin for forest or woods. But you know it today as Pennsylvania, named after yours truly. Has a nice ring, doesn't it? Your tour's narrator, Judy, spoke true when she said that I had good relations with the native Lenni Lenape. I had negotiated Pennsylvania's first land purchase survey with them and vowed to exploit neither them nor the immigrants, then flooding into the New World. I also maintained their right in Pennsylvania to hunt, fish, scavenge, and traverse the land. Still, I could not get my sons to follow in my footsteps, and as mentioned in the previous chapter, they had controversial relationships with the Lenape. But enough about my sons. What you really came here to learn about was West Windsor history, wasn't it? So, back to our story. In 1693, I purchased about 6,500 acres in what is now the western half of West Windsor. Its eastern boundary was a division line between my property and land to the east owned by a fellow proprietor named David Lyle. When my son sold this property to two Dutch settlers named Gerrit Skank and John Covenhoven in 1737, your town experienced its first wave of settlement, and the community of Pensneck, also named after me, by the way, was born. This was the same exact year Dutchneck formed. Sadly, Pensneck will not be part of this tour. It is beautiful over there, though. The division line that I just mentioned, remember, the one between my property and David Lyle's, was called the Penlisle Line by your town's early settlers. It was a well-known boundary for centuries, stretching from the Assunpink Creek in the south to the Millstone River in the north. In the mid-1860s, a road was constructed along this border, and I believe your fellow townfolk call it Penn Lyle Road, named after me and Lyle. So next time you drive down that road, remember, you are traveling along the legacy of two of West Windsor's earliest landowners. Wait, so who exactly was David Lyle? Born around 1670, he worked as a goldsmith in London and became quite wealthy, eventually growing in prominence as one of New Jersey's most prosperous landowners. In 1697, 2 years before he immigrated to North America, Lyle bought about 4,500 acres in West Windsor from Andrew Hamilton, then the governor of New Jersey. This huge purchase was often referred to as Lyle's Great Tract. If you are currently standing east of Penn Lyle Road, you are on what used to be his property. 6 years later, Lyle purchased hundreds of acres in southern West Windsor from two Lenape for 5 coats, 2 hoes, 2 hatchets, 4 knives, and 1 gallon of rum. In other words, quite a steal for old Lyle. This property was soon sold to some of your town's oldest families, some of whom still live in West Windsor to this day. On his death, Lyle's property, including the 4,500-acre Great Tract, were divided and inherited by his children. The property lines between his children's parcels were significant. In fact, it seems likely that several roads, including Village Road West, South Mill Road, Edinburgh Road, and portions of Princeton Heightstown Road, but not all of it, were built along these property lines. For decades, the Penn and Lyle families possessed most of West Windsor as absentee landlords, while the land remained virtually uninhabited. But all this would change in 1737 with the settlement of Penn's Neck and, more relevant to you on this tour, the founding of Dutch Neck.
Play the next chapter to learn more about Dutch Neck's founding.